Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last week, the American Library Association announced that in 2021, it recorded the most attempts to ban books since it began tracking those numbers in 2000. This comes as more and more states and school districts are banning certain books, especially those that touch on race, gender, and sexuality for kids and young adults. Now, this isn't a new phenomenon, but that doesn't make it any less troubling. In response, the New York Public Library has announced a new project called Books for All that will provide electronic copies of some of the books that have been targeted free for anyone who wants a copy. The library will make available Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, King and the Dragonflies by Kaysen Callender, Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi, and Speak by Laurie Halls Anderson. With me now to discuss the library's project, Books for All, and to take some calls with us is Tony Marks, president of the New York Public Library. Tony, hi.
It's great to be here.
And Lynn Lobash, assistant director of reader services at NYPL. Lynn, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Allison.
So listeners, what do you make of the recent trends to attempt to ban books in some school districts around the country? How does it make you feel? How are you fighting back? Give us a call. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can hit us up on social media. Twitter and Instagram are the same, at all of it WNYC. If you're a parent, what's your reaction to the increase in banned books and how it could affect the way children learn? And finally, do you have any recommendations of books that are in these banning conversations you think are really important to read? We want to hear about your favorite banned book. 212-433-9692. WNYC 212-433-9692. So, Tony, the big picture question, why? Why did the library decide to take this on?
Well, there's no more fundamental issue for the library, and we believe for civil society and the future of democracy, than the ability for everyone to have access to the information that they want so that they can make their own judgments. That's what, you know, this is the basis of everything. It, you know, if we don't respect and trust people's ability to make these judgments for themselves and to not constrain it for them, officially say you can't read this, then all bets are off for the future. Not only will we not be able to have a democracy with informed citizens, you know, reading about others, pushing your comfort beyond your comfort zones is how we learn about ourselves and who we are and solve our own identity issues. It's how we understand each other. It's how we learn to live with each other. It's how we come up with solutions based on, you know, talking about things that are hard to talk about, because God knows we need that at this point. The idea that we are double the number of books, you know, censored in the United States of America. I mean, here we are fighting against the notion of that in, you know, what Russia's doing, closing down information for their citizens on a war that's being waged so ostensibly in their name. We can't allow ourselves to get anywhere close to that. And we best fight at the very beginning, because we know from history, book bannings lead to people bannings, to idea bannings, to party bannings, and ultimately to questions about questioning the existence or the right to exist of ideas and people. We can't go down that road, and the library has to do more than just a press release. We had to act.
Yeah, Lynn, I was going to ask you, what power or even responsibility do you think libraries have in this moment?
Our responsibility is to ensure that everything that anyone wants to read is available to them so that they can make their own choices and come to their own, you know, sort of set of values. But that is our primary task. And it's not partisan, right? We have books in our collection, you know, extreme right wing, extreme left wing, Democrat, Republican. You know, we have horrible books in our collection, right? I mean, you know, you could Mein Kampf, Hitler, whatever. It's here because that's our job. And we have to protect the right of everyone to have access to all that information, or we are totally lost.
According to NPR, the American Library Association counted 729 challenges to library, school, and university materials in 2021, and the number of individual books challenged in 2021 totaled 1,597. So, Lynn, you know, a lot of these are young adult books. Why do you think they are targets?
Yeah, it's a big portion is young adult stuff, and a big portion of that category is a lot of LGBTQ content. And, you know, I will say, like, the flip side of this coin is that it's been 8 years since Walter Dean Myers wrote this groundbreaking op-ed piece calling out for diverse books, children's books specifically. And a lot's changed since then, I will say, you know, in publishing. And so we're seeing it, YA just exploded at about 6 years ago and continues to just pump out incredible volumes of work from all sorts of identities and cultures and viewpoints. We're seeing it now in middle grade. Picture books have become incredibly inclusive. So in essence, in the last, you know, less than a decade, there's a lot more books out there for people to object to. So that's actually a good thing. Objecting to them and banning them is not a good thing, obviously. But I think that because a lot of it has to do with schools and teenagers who are particularly, you know, precarious and vulnerable and emotional, people, you know, react really strongly to them.
Let's take a call. Ah, one of our regular listeners, Kanene, calling in from Harlem on line one. Hey, Kanene.
Hi, good morning or afternoon at this point. Yes, it's Kanene with Black Issues Issue. So I was calling. Thank you so much, NYPL, for what you're doing. When we think about America and we want to romanticize democracy versus actually enact and be a democracy, which is difficult, right? Like this to me is the divide, right? This is the cognitive dissonance, right? When we want to patrol and tell other countries what to do, but here at home, we're literally banning books, right? So this turns into a crisis for democracy, because if people are not educated, if they're not informed, if they're not aware of the nuances of various issues, whether they agree with them or not, at least be aware of it, right? Then the candidates that we're voting for, right, are they also aware, or the people who are voting for these candidates, to what degree are they actually aware of the nuances and the importance of the issues that are really a stranglehold on our sustainability and survival as a community, as mm-hmm. a society, as a culture, and as a paragon and beacon for democracy around the world. So this is literally major. It is literally life and death, because perception is reality, and there's also mirror neurons, right? So people will copy what they already see, mm-hmm. right? So if you get into a culture, this is why the Black Panther Party to me was one of the most effective social justice organizations, because it was cool. You could not get into the Black Panther Party until there's X amount of books that you've read. And I bet you most of those books are banned.
Kanene, thank you so much for calling in. Please do call back. My guests are Tony Marks and Lynn Lobash. Tony is president of the New York Public Library, and Lynn is assistant director of reader services for the library. We're going to talk about the library's new initiative, Books for All. Listeners, what have you made of the recent trends for attempted book banning? Have you fought back? How? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or tweet to us at All of It. WNYC. So, Tony, I want to get to something that Kanene was getting to. What is the quiet part of this issue that's not being said out loud?
Well, there are lots of quiet parts of this issue that are not being said out loud. I mean, there's the notion that you know, our compatriots in the country, there are people who believe that it is better to constrain choice than open choice, to have mm-hmm. less information. I think people are scared about what their kids or people they know will discover about themselves or about each other. We think that's important to enable. I think there's an unspoken sense of, you know, we're losing the basics of democracy here, which is information, community, respect for every individual's ability to learn. If you say, we don't trust you to read this, you're not respecting each individual. Democracy is based on the respect of each individual as part of, you know, the collective that makes decisions. We're losing the basics here. And I think the interesting moment that Nene is, Kaye's question arose is, like the Second World War, when we drafted African Americans to fight and they came back and they realized that what we were saying to the world about our values was completely contradicted nicely by the reality on the ground, Jim Crow, et cetera. That changed, that was part of what changed America, to open up to rights. And, you know, I think this may be a moment like that, where we slid away from democracy during pandemic. And now the Ukraine events remind us of what's really at stake in terms of global values. We can't be out there defending those global values against dictators abroad that are abusing their power, to put it mildly, and give ourselves a free pass at home for acting accordingly. This should help to clarify the choices we're making, the values we're defending. And that's why the library said, we just can't stand idly by while amazing, great, classic books even are being banned. I mean, and again, it's not partisan. You know, there are places in the country where the Bible is banned, you know, from left concerns about the church and state, I imagine. We're against that too. You know, the Bible is available, public domain. It's not a problem. So it's on our, it's in Simply E. You know, another part of what's not being said here is we're putting this out on our own Simply E platform, which is a national, potentially global platform. We want every book eventually ever written available to anyone on the planet. That's our aspiration. So of course we're against banning along the way. And it's important to us to use our own app because we want to ensure everyone's privacy while they're reading ebooks. We're not a commercial entity. We're not a partisan entity. We're a encourage people to read and learn entity.
Lynn, let's talk about some of the books that have been made available. Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger, one of the books that's been made accessible. This book has a history of being banned. So what's the alleged issue with Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Holden Caulfield all together. He's just an iconic, you know, teenage rebel. And it was banned. They like to use this term a lot. Let me see when I get it right. Yeah, it was banned for offensive language, being sexually explicit and unsuited to age group. That comes up over and over again for these books. It's literally, I think he's like a, you know, he's a high school kid, got out of prep school and roamed around New York, you know, thinking thoughts for 3 days. You know,
the only thing about that, I say the only thing about that book that I think is offensive is that we all started yelling digression after we read it obnoxiously as teenagers.
Right. Another one that I find particularly objective is this wonderful book, Speak by Laurie Halsey Anderson. And it's a story about this young girl who's at a party right before she starts her freshman year in high school. And she's sexually assaulted at the party and she calls the police. And then when the police show up, she can't verbally tell them what happened. Like, she's just blocked psychologically. And, you know, her peers are all mad because she broke up the party. And so they sort of ostracize her. And she quit speaking almost altogether, you know, due to this trauma. And this one was banned. It's the ALA cites this. Banned for the inclusion of rape and claimed to be biased against male students, which is quite a claim.
We actually, you know, we had Laurie on the show and we pulled a clip because we asked her about her book being banned. I mean, this book came out in 1999. It's also, you know, it's been around for a while. And why she thinks her books, this book keeps winding up on these lists. This is what Laurie Halsey Anderson had to say.
What has not changed is that parents are still afraid to have rational, open, honest conversations with their kids about their bodies and about sexuality. Their parents didn't talk to them either. And so we have this, a very important part of most people's lives. And in the lives of adolescents, sex has the potential to be disastrous. And when kids don't get input from the adults that are trustworthy in their lives, when so many boys are informed about sexuality only through unethically produced violent pornography, then we still wind up with so many victims in every generation, in every year since Speak has come out. We have a lot more work to do.
That was Lori Halls Anderson. Since we're on the topic of parents, we have Carrie calling in from Rutherford, New Jersey. Hi, Carrie. Tell us what's going on in your town.
Hi there. I am part of a group of parents who are organizing online and going to our local Board of Ed meeting just to show our support for our teachers, our librarians, et cetera. We have a parent with some backers who's trying to have books, quote unquote, banned, and then sharing our recorded Board of Ed meetings online on YouTube channels with more people who are anti-LGBTQ, anti-SEL, social, emotional learning, et cetera. So it's disappointing because we live in a pretty privileged town, in my opinion, that this is happening so close to, you know, New York City. We're about 8 miles outside of Manhattan.
Question for you. Are the folks, to your knowledge, are the folks who are agitating actually from your town, or are they receiving input from outside?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, someone who has a kid in school and they don't want their child exposed to certain information. But then it appears they are then taking our local Board of Ed meetings, discussions, et cetera, and then sharing them on YouTube. So we have to identify our names, our addresses as well when we speak on the microphone. And then a lot of people got a bit worried about that because our names and our likeness and our home addresses are being on the internet. And then it's just a very bizarre scene. I'm not accustomed to it at all. It's actually shocked, you know, to hear about this happening in our town.
Carrie, thank you for calling in, and please be safe, you and your neighbors. Please do. We are talking to Tony Marks and Lynn Lobash from the New York Public Library about the library's effort to get banned books into the hands, a couple of them. Anybody who wants to read them, we'll talk to Tony and Lynn a little bit more, and we'll take more calls from you after the break. What's your favorite banned book? What are you feeling about books being banned? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We will be back after a quick break. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests are Tony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, and Lynn Lobash, assistant director of reader services at the library. We're talking about the library's new initiative, Books for All, a new free resource of e-copies of certain books that have been targets of book banning. Lynn, King and the Dragonflies. It's won so many awards. National Book Award in 2020 for young people's literature. Winner of the 2020 Boston Globe Horn Book Award for fiction. Coretta Scott King Honor Award. And parents, some parents in Texas, are trying to get it banned in schools. What is it about?
Yeah, it's such a special book, too. It's got just this wonderful little bit of magical realism to it. Essentially, it's a story of this 12-year-old boy named King who lives in a small town in Louisiana. His brother has recently passed away, so he's dealing with his grief around that. And before his brother died, he heard a rumor about King's best friend, whose name escapes me now. But the rumor was that he was gay. And so King has sort of cut off his ties with his best friend. So now he's grieving his brother and he doesn't have his best friend. And in the end, he comes around and goes back to save his friend from his life. He lives with an abusive father. But yeah, it won the Young People's Award for a national book, Coretta Scott King. It's just, you know, everyone is praising it for good reason.
Tony,
and it's such a unique and special book too. Like, I've never read anything like it in middle grade fiction.
Tony, I wanted to get your take on our caller before the break, Carrie, who was discussing how someone in her town has been advocating for banning books and then taking the information and spreading it online on Facebook specifically. First of all, I want to get your take on that. And secondly, is there anything the library system could do to help the people in this town or in towns like this?
Sure. Look, I'm going to defend everyone's right to make the arguments they want to make, even the ones I don't agree with, just as I will defend the right of people to read books that I don't agree with the content of. Again, let me be clear. The library is not in the business, never will be in the business, of requiring reading, assigning reading, saying you must read this. We are in the business of offering the opportunity to learn. Right. Mm-hmm. And and that's what we're going to hold to that. And I think, thinking about some of the stories that the callers have told, I think let's just think about we've been through 6 years of really hard stuff, including 2 years of pandemic. Everyone is scared. Everyone's feeling embattled. Everyone's feeling at wit's edge. And that makes it tempting as a moment to close in and protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Go to your echo chamber. Protect anyone from asking hard questions of themselves or you or others. That's the opposite of the lesson we need to learn from this pandemic. We need to figure out ways to understand each other, to push beyond our comfort zones, to learn about each other. I mean, just think about the kid who's been isolated in a pandemic, who's facing the kinds of choices that, these books are helping kids understand. The Kid and the Dragonflies, a kid isolated, mm-hmm. grappling with gender, sex, race, all kinds of issues, which are real issues for our kids. For us to say, you can't have access to the information that will help you think about this, that will show you you're not alone, And you can decide different, outcomes for yourself. And there are different things to read. That's what we're committed to. And, I think we have to remind each other, this is the basics of American values. This is what we fought fascism over this. They were the book banners, not us. Dwight Eisenhower came out and talked about how outrageous book banning was. For goodness sakes. I mean, this is bread and butter, and we seem to, in the frenzy of everything we're living through, we seem to be forgetting the basic values of America. The folks who are calling for bannings should be the patriots at the front edge saying, no, this is what America stands for, not doing this to ourselves and our kids.
Let's talk to Joan, calling in from Riverside, Connecticut on line one. Hi, Joan. Thank you for calling All of It.
Thank you for taking my call. My favorite book that has been banned in some districts, school districts, is Mouse by Art Spiegelman. And it's a graphic memoir of his father and mother's experiences during the Holocaust. And it's used in some curriculums in middle school on a Holocaust unit. And the Germans or the Nazis are cats, and the Jews, the victims, are mice. And it was banned in a district, I think, in Tennessee because of nudity. So I got my book out and I reread it cover to cover very closely to find out where was this nudity. And the nudity occurs when the mice are in the concentration camp and they're running and they're nude and they're nude mice. And I'm there. I don't know. I just couldn't believe this when I realized this is what they were focusing on. And it's such an important book because I think it is accessible to both children, to teens. Excuse me. I get very upset about this.
Of course.
Book banning. But it's very accessible because it is not depicted with real people, but yet it is real experiences. And you really feel what the victims went through. So I appreciate what the libraries are doing and making these books available. But I think something like Mouse, that like some of the other books you've mentioned, have been around for years, to suddenly wake up and decide because the mice are nude. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
One, I love that you are so passionate about reading and this issue. I could hear it in your voice. And two, I really also like that you did your own homework and went back and reread it and just didn't click on a headline and make a decision. So yay for Joan, Riverside, Connecticut. Let's talk to Leah calling in from Paramus, New Jersey. Hi, Leah. You're on the air on All of It.
Hi, Allison. I love your show. I cannot believe I'm talking to you right now.
Thank you. What's going on?
Well, you put me in queue probably after Joan because I wanted to talk a little bit about math. I actually teach in an Orthodox Jewish middle school. It's a K-8 school. And when everything happened in Tennessee, my students were reading a graphic novel. They were reading New Kid by Jerry Kraft. And I encouraged them for their book reports to read Mouse as a result of everything that was happening. And they went out and bought it, and a bunch of them read it. And it was just really great to see that. And our school now is actually, we normally do a middle school read where everybody in the school reads the same book. So we are going to be reading Ban This Book, which is, I don't remember the author's name, but it's a story of a fourth grade girl who starts to run her own sort of like locker library of the books that are being banned. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to all the school teachers out there that you can quietly resist, or not so quietly resist, by putting this stuff on your curriculum and encouraging your students to read it.
I love your pushback. So great. Thanks so much for calling in. Lynn, I wanted to ask you, you know, she mentioned Jerry Kraft's book, and that book deals with, it's a beautiful graphic novel, but all his books deal with this character and deals with the colorism and racism. While that book has not ended up on a lot of lists, Ibram X. Kendi and Jason Reynolds stamped racism, anti-racism, and you has. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but why do you think this book would end up on a list as opposed to something
it's
else?
It's funny. Jason Reynolds is just, they really don't like him. And it's funny because he is the ambassador for young people's literature for like Library of Congress. He's hugely successful. And I've heard him speak, and he's so inspiring because he talks about how when he was a kid, he hated reading because he never saw himself in any of the books until he finally read Walter Dean Myers and was like, oh, okay, there I am. And then went on to become this, I mean, prolific author. He writes everything. He writes nonfiction, he writes fiction, he's done YA, he's done middle grade. He's incredible. And the volume of stuff he's churned out over the last few years is just amazing. I don't know. I think he scares them. You know, he just tackles topics that they don't want to hear about. You know, it's about race and police violence and, you know, racism in America. And, you know, so I think he just, you know, they don't want to hear from him.
Tony, how can interested people access the books from the public library?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Anyone in the country, anyone in the world, actually, can download the New York Public Library's Simply E app. That's our own library-controlled, private, protected app. As long as you're over 13 years old, you can go to anyone in the country. You don't need a New York Public Library card. You don't need to be in New York, of course. You can locate the Books for All collection, and there the unbanned books will be. There are lots of other books. I mean, we have millions of books available online. We want everything eventually to be available. But in the meantime, we're highlighting these four that we worked with these publishers, and huge shout out to them. Anyone can just click, browse, check it out, read it. It's free, no fines, no limits. And we just wanted to say here, you know, you can't burn an ebook. And we're trying to say you can't ban an ebook. There's a power here that we want to use, which is to say, this enables us to fulfill our mission. And now let everyone make their choices informed by reading rather than blinded by saying, I'm going to be purposefully oblivious to this. Right?
The name of the initiative is Books for All. My guests have been Tony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, and Lynn Lobash, assistant director of Reader Services. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Allison.
Thanks, Allison.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.